each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good Monday afternoon. This is Mary Helen Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, along with the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame, and joined by my co-host, Loretta Frelick, a former criminal prosecutor for the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. And we are sitting in, as we do most every Monday, for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change. So thank you for being with us. Loretta, how was your weekend?
Well, my weekend was great, Mayor. How about yours?
You know, it was a little sad, Loretta, because I got the very shocking news that one of my law school classmates, but also a friend from high school, Lawrence Massal, passed away very suddenly after complications with heart procedure he was having. And so quite a shock. He was only 61. He was the longtime head of the Civic Federation, which is it was a nonpartisan group that had an expertise in city and state budgets, municipal budgets. So but just a very kind, warm-hearted, very funny, very, very smart man. So I met him my first day freshman year at St. Ignatius High School. And then, as it happens, we were both in the same evening division law school program at Loyola. We both went to law school at night to get our degrees. And just really an exemplary person. And, yeah, so it's very sad. I think I started getting phone calls at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and they didn't stop all weekend. Aww. You know, people who just wanted to confirm that what they had heard was true or asking me if I knew. So it was, you know, again, with these things, you're always reconnected with people from your past who you might not see anymore. So already the group of my law school classmates are going to meet at the wake and then have a drink in Lawrence's memory afterwards, which he would have encouraged us to do. So, so that was kind of sad.
But, yeah, well, yeah. We pray for his family.
That's right.
The loss, while the city and state, with a man of that incredible civic mindedness,
yes,
the loss is tremendous for the city and state, but the family feels it so personally. And
right.
So we want to lift up prayers for the family,
yes,
that they may recognize that he's home with the Father and that his life serves as a model for theirs.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, he always thought of others before himself. You always hear these nice things about people after they die, but he really did have that particular characteristic. So two examples of him. He died as he lived. His family wanted to make sure that as many of his organs as possible could be used for transplant transplant candidates.
Mm-hmm.
He had to be kept alive a couple of extra days so they could assess, the condition of the organs. But, you know, that's some families aren't willing to go through that, and that's completely understandable. But his family was very generous in making sure that his spirit would go on in the bodies of other people, if that would be possible. And then also the families asking for, rather than flowers or what have you, donations to a community for adults with developmental disabilities.
Praise God.
Which is, they're an often overlooked population.
Yes.
So
adults
who have either Down syndrome or other disabilities that make it difficult for them to live independently. So there's group homes for them, and that's how the family is honoring his life, which I just thought was beautiful. So,
well, his life goes on, giving life.
Right, there you go. So, when we last spoke to each other here in the studio, we ended the show with a prayer for Mark Houck, who was the father of seven, Catholic father of seven, who was arrested and charged with a federal violation of the FACE Act, which is the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. And he was accused of assaulting a pro-abortion, what they call an escort, which some people in the pro-life movement refer to them as death escorts because they escort women in to have their abortions. And this particular death escort had been really harassing his young son, who I think is 10 or 11.
And they were walking away.
They were walking away from him,
they
right?
They were not going toward the door of the clinic.
No, they were not escalating. Away. They were leaving the clinic environs. And this gentleman got right into his son's personal space.
His comments were vile.
Yeah. Oh, vile, disgusting things to this little boy.
To 12-year-old boy.
Yeah. And the father, as any parent would do, I mean, he's lucky he got away with a little shove, which was to just say, get away from my son, please. And this clinic volunteer, too, had been reprimanded by the abortion clinic previously. So
I did not know that.
Yes, for being very aggressive with people who were simply exercising their First Amendment rights to pray in front of abortion clinics. But when we left, you, as a former prosecutor, said to me, I think there's one juror who's holding out. And now, do you know what happened? Did they replace one juror?
Yes.
I think. Tell us what happened.
Okay. They were deadlocked.
Right.
So they informed the judge that they were deadlocked. The judge, in his efforts to determine why they were deadlocked, sometimes it's one juror refusing to deliberate. Now, that doesn't mean take a vote, but refusing to listen to any of the arguments, refusing to present their argument to the other side.
Okay.
But the judge has to be very careful not to disturb the workings of the jury, but to inquire what's going on.
Got it.
And in Illinois, the judge then would give them a PRIM charge,
What does PRIM stand for?
Well, PRIM is the case, PRIM versus Illinois, is the case where a jury was deadlocked and the judge gave them it's like a dynamite charge. Like, you guys get back in there and finish your duty. You just took an oath. He says it very gently, but you can imagine the effect it has on the jury.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because they've already told him we're done.
Yes.
And so he'll give them a PRIM charge, and that PRIM charge says go back in and continue to deliberate.
Okay.
And so what he must have found, and I still don't know this for a fact because I have not read on it yet, but one of the jurors, I think, was choosing not to participate. And so why?
But how do you as a juror do that? If you
sit in the corner, fold your hands, and don't talk?
Oh, boy. Okay.
So
I don't like the sound of that. It sounds
It's very hard. It's very, very hard. And, you know, just refuse to hear no, he's guilty, we're done. Mm. Or, no, you know, clearly because the other 11 were not guilty.
Right.
So what ended up happening was the judge replaced it, the juror.
So there were alternate jurors?
I'm sure there were at least two.
Okay.
I don't know in the federal system, but there in a state jury, there'd be two, or a county jury, there'd be two. Depending on the serious nature of the charge and the complication of the issue, you can get four.
Right.
Now, they're sent home and told once the deliberation begins, they're sent home and told, don't discuss this. It's as though they're still on the jury. They've heard all the evidence, but they don't get back in the room to deliberate.
Okay.
And there's the first alternate and then the second alternate.
Okay.
The first is picked the first and the second is picked second.
Okay.
So then when something like this happens, or say a juror has a medical emergency.
Right.
You know, some family emergency and has to leave the jury, then they can place the alternate, seat the alternate in the actual jury. The deliberations must begin from the beginning.
Really?
You've got to start all over again.
So what's the logic behind that? Why would you have to start all over again?
Well, because this juror, the new juror,
is
not purview to what everybody else's wisdom or feelings on the jury was.
Got
so
it.
What'll end up happening is they will start again. And, you know, sometimes it's, okay, let's take a vote. You all heard the evidence.
Right.
The foreman or the foreperson knows what the votes of the other 11 are.
Right.
We'll just take a vote right now. And they came back so quickly.
Yeah, they came back very fast.
It sounds like that may have been what they wanted to do. Just take a vote. How does this person, who heard all the evidence.
Right, so they would have been sitting there.
A preliminary vote, and the person says not guilty. Well, you don't have too far to go then.
Right.
And
yeah, I'm sorry. Would you have been surprised if he was convicted?
I'm not surprised by anything a weaponized Department of Justice does to pro-life individuals in this culture.
Okay.
Not surprised by anything.
No, it's
however, I think I'm always impressed by the jurors. When you pick a jury and some young kid shows up in blue jeans and a T-shirt, well, whatever the T-shirt says lets me in on a whole lot of his thinking.
Right.
But then once they get selected for that jury and the next day they're in a white shirt and a tie, they're taking it seriously.
Yes, right. That's a person who understands the significance of what they're doing. That's a very good point, Loretta.
And our system, Mayor, is envied by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are tried by, you know, a jury of our own peers.
Right.
And so I think the facts of this case, I mean, let's not forget, in this case, the local state's attorney didn't charge it. The local federal government, the U.S. attorney in that locality didn't charge it. It wasn't until somebody on high said, charge it, that then it started spinning out of control. And, you know, it doesn't take a solid citizen 10 seconds to see a sham.
Got it.
You know that, Mary.
No, of course. Yes, of course.
So I really think that justice was served. And, you know, let's not take away from Peter Breen and the local criminal defense attorney, McGonigal.
Yeah,
and
they did a fantastic job.
They did a phenomenal job. And they knew what the issue was, and they weren't going to let this guy get railroaded. Yeah. And they continued to draw the jurors' attention to what was occurring.
Yeah.
This was not about interfering with someone going into the abortion clinic for an abortion. This was a father-son protecting his son from the vile statements to him from somebody who just happened to be an escort into the abortuary.
Yeah.
And so they were able to make
that
clear.
I mean, on its face, the FACE Act on its face doesn't apply to, I mean, no, I'm not trying to be flippant.
No,
I mean,
I know.
You know, it's, it doesn't apply to situations like this. I mean, it was meant to, to address circumstances where, someone chained themselves to the door of a clinic, right? Which is peaceful civil disobedience, and Operation Rescue was very much of that kind of mind. And that's not an approach that pro-life sidewalk counselors in any way use at all anymore. But it can intentions can run high in those kind of circumstances.
Yes.
Everybody understands that. So,
and I think that Mark did a great job testifying.
Okay.
You know, he didn't screw it up. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've put a witness on, and I can turn to my partner and say, in a whisper,
what just happened here? Yeah.
That's the first time I've heard that statement.
Yeah, interesting.
And a 13-year-old boy got on the witness stand and told what happened and told the truth.
Yes.
You don't have to.
I didn't know. I didn't realize this. Yeah. I didn't know that the son took the stand.
The
good
son
for
took
him.
The stand, yes. So Holy Spirit was alive and active in the actions of these two people, the father and the son. You know, the arguments and the evidence that was put on was not overcome by rebuttal witnesses. I mean, I don't know what rebuttal witnesses could have said. We weren't there, but that didn't happen that way because everybody agreed what the facts were.
Yeah.
And so I really just think, you know, the Holy Spirit gave one to the good guys.
Yes. Well, and I, you know, that family certainly was praying and fasting. And so many people praying and fasting with them and for them. So I just I'm just so grateful. So listeners, in case we hadn't been able to update you because we left you all hanging at the end of the episode last week, we wanted to make sure that you knew that happy news. And you know, if any of you just stopped and said a little prayer, thank you for doing that.
Thank
because
you.
God hears all those cumulative prayers and obviously uses them according to His good pleasure. So thanks for everybody who was participating. So,
and the word goes out, all of us pro-lifers, all of us warriors in the battlefield for life, watch your conduct, watch your statement. We don't be flip about anything you do because the Department of Justice will not back down. They will be looking.
Yep.
So for their next opportunity, and we don't want any listeners being right. part of that.
Yeah, and you know, this entire prosecution in the first place was meant to intimidate people
Amen.
Who are pro-life.
Amen.
The very fact that there have been countless, you know, pregnancy centers and Catholic churches that have been firebombed and vandalized and literal death threats against people, yet— you know, the Justice Department can't be bothered to prosecute those people.
They can track down every single yeah. person who was in the January 6th
right.
riot at the Capitol. They can spend months looking for those individuals and matching up video and Facebook statements by other people, but they cannot find men and women who are torching.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's just outrageous.
Outrageous. It's yeah. a miscarriage of justice.
Yep. Yep. And,
but that would be me, Mary.
But well, no. But thank you. I mean, you are so good about Loretta. I think just as a former prosecutor, you have a particular heart for people who've been unjustly accused of something and are suffering at the hands of an unjust judge, right? And so I'm so grateful that you insisted that we keep that story in both in front of our listeners, but also in our prayers. So thank you.
And we must remember, sometimes the unjust judge from Scripture is the society or the system that is moving against the individual.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be somebody sitting on the bench in their robes. And so we must be vigilant to protect our society, our citizenry, and ourselves.
Right.
And the only way I know to do it anymore, Mayor, is prayer.
Yeah. No, exactly. We have to just, it's sad that you can't trust your own government to be transparent and honest and
it
fair.
Is.
It's very sad. I mean, the way in which they view people of faith, and
yes.
particularly pro-life people of faith, is just outrageous. Speaking of Joe Biden, our president, is very much pushing a change in the Hyde Amendment. So he mm-hmm. wants now abortions. It's not just enough that in some places they're legal for all 9 months for any reason, just like here in Illinois, mm-hmm. but he wants the public to pay for them. He wants federal tax dollars to be used to pay for what is an elective procedure and what the other side readily admits is a private choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently no one's supposed to be involved, no government, no, just the woman and her doctor, they say, mm-hmm. which is hilarious because you know, the vast majority of abortion cases are done by somebody who is not the woman's doctor. Now in Illinois, you can even have nurses doing them. So he or she is a physician, may or may not be an OBGYN and likely has not even seen this patient.
Right.
You know, prior to having them, you know, to come in for their abortion.
But Mary, Joe Biden will be clinging to that rosary. It'll be wrapped all around his
right.
hands as they take his picture,
well,
saying he wants to pay
well,
for it.
Well, as he was getting onto, I guess it was Air Force One, a reporter asked him, you know, because the Catholic bishops released a statement asking him not to move forward with approving taxpayer-funded abortions. And they said, you know, the Catholic bishops who were speaking as a body, were
yes.
speaking as an entity,
yes.
You know, released this request that the president not go forward with publicly funded abortions, which are very unpopular among the general public.
Yes.
I mean, like 75%, a supermajority of Americans don't want publicly funded abortions. And so it's a very kind of common sense thing to oppose. And at any rate, as he was getting on Air Force One, a reporter asked him, the bishops are calling for you not to do this. What's your response? He said, no, not all the bishops. And the Pope hasn't asked me not to do that.
Oh, okay.
So just both. And so the bishops had to put out a report, you know, a statement rather correcting him. I mean, to imply that the Holy Father is somehow for publicly funded abortions, I don't know how you stoop lower than that. But then
I think it's
that's just me.
But...
Well, we're about ready to go into our first break. And when we come back, we're going to have a special guest in studio with us here on Winds of Change today. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Frelick. We're sitting in for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Laugh, you make me laugh, you make me laugh, you make me laugh, 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 you make me laugh.
Well, that's the whole point.
You've got to be joking.
No, it's about laughing and joking and having a great time. Join us for a night of laughter at St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show, Saturday, October 7th. Door opens at 6 p.m., showtime 7 p.m. Admission is just $30 per person with a cash bar, music, and you must be 21 or over.
Are you serious?
Well, of course. The St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show features the comedy of Jody Baez, Jeannie Dogan, and Alicia Molina. St. Stan's is located at 1255 North Noble. That's two blocks north of Division. On Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. A St. Stan's Back to School Comedy Show, Saturday, October 7th. You are listening to
Neri Fiorito
and
Loretta Freilich
on Winds of Change. St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Loretta Freilich and Mary Fiorito, and we are welcoming just a super guest for our show today. You know us, two girls. We know everything about the Super Bowl, right?
We are your source.
We can figure out the odds.
We can tell you
who's the favorite. We can give it all to you.
We may even be able to tell you the two teams that are in the game. That's how close we are to the pulse of football in the United States.
I had to look it up, Mary.
Did you?
But when you have friends like an amazing young woman named Lauren Majera, you don't have to look it up. You can ask the source to come to you. And it is our privilege today to bring sportscaster, anchor, the Green Bay Packers. She did a show for the Green
Bay Packers. Be careful saying Green Bay Packers
around
the likes of these
parts. Exactly.
And Lauren is the edge that we wanted to put on today's sports talk and Super Bowl talk is the favor of God. And while Lauren has the face for television and the voice for radio, we are definitely excited to hear from Lauren Majera. Welcome, Lauren.
Oh, it's such an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a minute since I've been in a radio booth. It's like riding a bike, though, I feel like.
There you go.
I feel right at home.
How did your career start in media, in news media?
I had a Division I gymnastics scholarship to the University of Alaska Anchorage.
Oh.
And
are you from Alaska?
I'm from Barrington.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
wow.
Originally from Jefferson Park, and then we moved out to Barrington. And then with the University of Alaska, I was able to get my degree in journalism and broadcast communications.
Excellent.
And
okay.
So I started my career in Anchorage, Alaska.
Okay.
Which was a very interesting place to start sports broadcasting because sports up there was like covering dog sled racing, ice fishing tournaments. I had my own fishing show.
Oh, that's
snowmobile
hilarious.
Races.
Oh, how
so
fun.
I really got to learn the industry without the glitz and glam of getting to cover an NFL game.
Right.
Or getting to be at Wrigley Field.
Yes.
So that's how I was able to start my career in sports broadcasting.
Excellent. And how long have you been back in the Chicago area though?
7 years.
Okay, great.
I had to work my way up. So a couple of years in Anchorage, Alaska, and then I was in Wausau, Wisconsin for a couple of years.
Okay.
I had a hunting and fishing show there, but then I was able to start covering the Packers games, a lot of the Wisconsin Badgers, the Brewers, and the Bucks. And then the Packers hired me to be their team host and pregame show co-host. And then when the season was over, I was kind of in a lull of an off-season as far as my career goes. And then there was an opening at WGN in Chicago.
And that's impressive because they're a sports desk, you know, between Dan Rohn and, you know, like it's such an experienced and very popular and well-known sports desk for sure.
It's legendary.
Yeah. Because of the Cubs, it was the National Cubs broadcast.
That's right. And everything with the Bulls during the 90s as well.
Of course.
I mean, there's a reason it's called World's Greatest Newspaper /Network.
Right.
I mean, it truly is legendary.
Right.
And it's the way that God worked it in. It was just truly the favor of God.
Now, when you talk about the favor of God, Lauren, I heard you at Favor Fest. Your mom and dad are pastors of a wonderful church called The Hub. I've been going for years, and it's a real blessing to so many people. But what I find so fascinating is how they focus on the goodness of God and his greatness in our lives. And you told a couple stories about the favor of God. And so could you tell our listeners those stories?
Oh, I mean, I don't know how much time you have. I could go on.
That's because, you know, Lauren, the thing that what I love about the show is that people will out of the blue either email or call and say, you know, I've had this happen. One time I was asking God to give me some encouragement about X, and then I just was flipping the channels and flipped on your show. So it so I know that it all worked out so beautifully for you to join us in studio today. So take as much time as you need, because no, I really feel on my heart that you're meant to tell this today, because someone out there is going to be listening who needs to hear it.
Okay. I mean, careful what you wish for. I'm going to be on payroll by the time I'm done talking. And you know what? It's so interesting is a lot of people think, you know, God doesn't care about sports. God doesn't care who wins the game. God doesn't care what the point is. God doesn't care who cares, you know, who catches a touchdown. And I don't see a verse in the Bible that says God does care about football, baseball, golf. But the way that God uses the things that he's created on this earth to impact our lives.
Amen. Right?
The way that he knows the desires of our heart. The way that he knows how to spoil his kids. One of the most basic stories that I love to tell about how the favor of God has really impacted my life is an easy one, because almost anyone can relate. I had my first job out of college, and at the time I thought, I have arrived. I have arrived on the doorsteps.
How could it possibly get better than
success?
This?
Success. I thought I had made it. I would have retired at this dinky little television station that had, you know, the ceiling was leaking. I had an old computer. I was editing on beta tape.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
that's
so funny. They're paying us in cash, sometimes late. And I truly thought I had arrived on the doorstep of success. It's because that's how, in our flesh on this earth, that's how we see ourselves. But it's so important to look at, find your value and your identity in the way that God sees you.
Right. Amen.
And sometimes he has to pull out the rug from underneath us in order to get us to take a step forward. And sometimes we won't take that step forward unless we fall on our bum. So I got fired from my first job. They were kind of, we had gotten bought by a new company. They had brought in all new management, and they just sort of cleaned house and just fired me. Escorted me out, and
that's awful.
It was such a shock, because I'm thinking, God, why did you make me come to Alaska? Why did you encourage me to get this degree? Why did you allow me to get this job? Just to get me thrown out. I don't understand the level of rejection, but that's our flesh talking.
Right.
And that's not the way that God works, because I felt so demoted.
Yeah,
but God doesn't demote. He only promotes.
Amen. Right.
And I learned this lesson very young, and I'm glad I learned it on such a smaller scale, because I needed this tool set in my repertoire as I only continued to grow, as I only continued to develop. So I was looking at things like this. Okay, I just got fired from my first job, so that's embarrassing to have as the first notch on my resume. You know, I'm thinking I'm building this huge resume, and I'm planning on building this big career in broadcasting, and I got fired from my first job. And I'm looking around the Anchorage market, because I'm living in Anchorage. Well, the CBS station doesn't have a sports department. There is no Fox. And the only other station, that's NBC, they're the top dog in town. They're the only station anyone watches. But the problem is, the guy, the sports director, is one of those lifers, kind of one of those guys that just can never be replaced. It was like a real quality type of person, like Dan Rohn.
Right.
Everyone loves him. Everyone knows who he is. You know, he's a lifer. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
And then the number two guy had just been promoted, and then they had just hired a number three guy.
Okay.
And he was so grateful to get that job. And there was just no way. There was no possibility. So I grabbed my Bible. I grabbed my 100-pound wolf dog. I climbed to the top of a mountain, literally, and I'm screaming at God because I'm angry. I felt rejected. I felt demoted. And I just was confused, because as I was looking at it through my flesh, through my earthly eyes, I don't see a way. There is no way. There is no how. I don't understand. And this is the reason I love to tell this story, is because how many times have you felt that way?
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, multiple times.
I feel rejected.
Yep.
I feel demoted. I feel unseen. I feel like there is no way. There is no how. I don't know what to do. And I had the wisdom at the time to say, God, I've seen you move mountains. I've seen you, you know, I've read about you parting seas. I'm going to put this in your hands. And I humbly walked down the mountain and just waited. And I felt you know, that anger at God, I've, you know, all of that rejection sort of floated away, and I felt a sense of peace, and God restored it with a sense of hope. And those are, that is what God feels like.
Yes.
Once I kind of shifted my mindset and my heart, those are the feelings that overcame. Those are the feelings that flooded my heart. And then the next day, I received a phone call from John Carpenter, who is the Dan Rohn type that I'm telling about. He was the number one, the top dog at the best station, called my cell phone. And he said, I'm wondering if you can grab coffee with me real quick. So I met him for coffee, and he said, you have to keep this between us, but I'm thinking about retiring. And I said, you're at the pinnacle of your career. Why are you, I don't understand. And he said, God's been working in my heart, and he's calling me into ministry.
Wow.
And I think I'm going to make a career move.
Wow.
I didn't even know he was a Christian.
Wow, interesting.
And I said, why are you telling me this? I didn't even know you knew I existed. How did you get my cell phone number? Wow. Why are you telling me this?
Right.
He said, when I retire, it's going to be in a matter of a couple weeks. He said, the only reason I've been holding on is because we were waiting for your contract to be up.
Glory to God.
And he said, I heard that they fired you. That nullifies your non-compete. And we've been waiting for us to legally approach you, but because they fired you, we're able to bring you on now.
Glory to God.
I had to be fired.
Glory to God.
In order to be promoted.
Isn't that something?
And while it's not, I could tell stories about, being at Game 7 of the World Series or, what it's like, all. But that story is, it's the basic fundamentals of the favor of God.
Praise God. Yes.
And
thank you, Lord.
I can't compare it, but it's similar vibes of like, you had to think the disciples of, they murdered Jesus.
Right.
But he had to die.
He did.
He had to die in order to save the rest of the world for the rest of eternity.
Amen.
And it's the same fundamentals as I didn't understand. I had to be fired in order to nullify my contract, in order to make sure I didn't have a non-compete, in order to then be hired at the number one television station in Anchorage.
Mm. Praise God. Yeah. The favor of God. It's beyond anything we can do for ourselves. And look at how it blessed you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because then my career just took off after that.
Yeah,
more than what you could have asked for, or, you never would have thought to ask for that.
I would have been stuck at that TV station. And even when my contract was up, I still would have had a non-compete.
Sure.
And it's so cool the way that God works. And where I couldn't see it, I didn't know what he was stirring in John's heart.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he had been, wrestling with this for years as God is pulling him into ministry.
Right.
You don't know what God is doing behind the scenes, working the puzzle pieces in order to bless you. And you are sadly mistaken if you think you're forgotten, if you think you're unheard, if you think you're unseen. And it's just so important in order to shift those standing at the top of a mountain, shaking your fists in the air, screaming.
Yes.
Because you can stay mad at God all you want, but work on your heart, work on your mind frame, and really turn that over into God.
Amen. Mm. Now, listeners, that's not coming from your regular me and Mary. This is coming from Lauren Majera, who is a renowned sports anchor and reporter, and somebody who's worked this game from Alaska to Chicago. And we want to know, too, the story that you shared with us, Lauren, at Favor Fest, the one about, I don't want to reveal too much. You know the story I'm telling.
Does it have to do with Game 7?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Exciting.
So when my contract was up with the Green Bay Packers, again, I'm kind of hitting a lull in my career where I am looking to get another job. And then it worked out that God had me hired at WGN. That is a different story. That's a pretty cool story.
We're going to hear that one, too.
But the way that it worked out is I'm thinking, I don't want to get to Chicago too quick where I'm not prepared, where I'm not ready. Mm. But that's the thing, is God prepares us for what we're ready for. I'm sure David didn't feel prepared to fight Goliath.
Right.
But God knows our hearts, and he knows what he's prepared us for, and he knows our capabilities. And I really trusted, and I was rewarded for that obedience, and I was rewarded for that trust because it was April of 2016.
Okay.
And as any Chicagoan knows, there was history made that year. It was the year the Cubs won the World Series. And as I'm hired in April, it's opening day of the season, And there's just, there's so much favor over my life. And it was just so interesting to get to see the way that God carried it out in me through sports, because as the season went on, I got to be at Game 7 of the World Series. And it was so interesting because it felt like spiritual warfare. And this is why I say, you know, God may not care about sports per se, but there's so many parables in the way that he can use sports as analogies for the way that his heart is, the way that spirit is. Anyone who saw that game, it was such a back and forth battle. And, you know, the Cubs were, you know, they were up, I think, 3-1. And, you know, they were looking like they were going to win it. And then they started to slip. The cool thing about this game was that right when it looked like the Cubs were going to lose it, a storm came and it started to rain. And, I mean, literally, Addison Russell was crying in the dugout. It's only the seventh inning. They had accepted that they had lost. They had were acting like they were defeated. And it was cool the way that the weather affected this game, because during this rain delay, Jason Hayward was able to give a motivational speech to the guys and say, like, we did not lose this. We can come back and we can win this.
Right.
And they did. And I love the way that Theo Epstein described it. He didn't say it was a coincidence. He didn't say it was ironic. He didn't say the way he described it is divine intervention.
Amen.
The way that God can intervene in things that matter in this world, the things that matter to people, the things that matter. It made history. It broke a curse over the city of Chicago that people bought into, that people were in partnership with, that people agreed to. We're cursed. We're never going to win. While there was a curse that, you know, they bought into it and they were partnering with it.
Right.
But that was the year that they said, we're going to break the curse.
And our words have power.
Right.
And when we start saying those things like, we're going to lose, we're cursed,
those you're partnering
words, you're partnering with it. You're right.
And every other year, players would say, there is no such thing as curses. And acting like it doesn't exist is almost as horrible as partnering with it.
Right.
But speaking against it, this is the year we're going to break the curse.
Yes.
This is the year we are not lovable losers anymore. Because for years, even fans would partner with, we're lovable losers. And they were.
Right.
You are what you say you are. You are what you believe you are. But speak into how God sees you.
Yes.
We're World Series champions.
That's right.
We're going to break the curse.
That's
we're winners. We are champions. We are going to end the drought.
Amen.
And it was so cool to get to see them win it and just, you know, go from being sprayed with champagne in the clubhouse to running out onto the field to being doused with rain. And it's really cool what comes along with the World Series. And I'm months on the job.
Right.
Months on the job.
That's remarkable.
And, you know, what comes with the World Series? A parade.
Right.
A parade where you get to celebrate in the streets of Chicago, and it was a world record. It went on as like one of the top 10 biggest gatherings in world history that they get to celebrate in the streets. What else comes with winning a World Series? An invitation to the White House.
There you go.
Yeah.
And little old me, you know, who thought I'd arrive on the doorstep of success because I caught a salmon on camera once, is getting a head nod from President Obama as he says that some of Michelle's favorite memories growing up is watching the Cubs on WGN.
Praise God.
And I'm holding this WGN mic flag, and President Obama looks over and gives me a nod. It's just so cool the levels that God can take you to with favor.
Although I contest that, though, because Michelle Obama is a Southsider, and I am sorry. I don't think she was probably watching.
It's political.
It's
got to be unbiased.
I'm sorry.
One of them's got to own the Cubs.
You
got to have the whole heart of the city, not just half.
I know. But, you know, one of the things I remember, and I've actually, in some of the other talks I've been giving, kind of relaying this story, because there's when it was Game 7, and I remember, you know, just like you're watching it, but you don't want to watch. It's like a horror movie. You're like, no, something's going to happen, and they're going to crush me. But what was really interesting, my daughter, who would have been 5 at the time, she turned to me. She said, Mommy, don't you wish Grandpa was here?
Right.
And then just how, just very organically, how people started going down and like writing the names of their grandparents on the
It was so much
stadium.
Bigger than baseball.
Oh, it was so big. And I've been trying to explain to people what that was like, but the one picture that still gets me when I think about it was the man who went to, I think, Queen of Heaven Cemetery with a folding chair and a transistor radio so he could listen to the game with his dad, the last game with his dad. It was a beautiful picture. And it was so much more than a baseball game. And when you, and again, nobody, there wasn't this, hey, the Cubs have asked everybody to come down and write the name of their deceased loved ones on the walls of the stadium. It just happened very naturally. Can you talk a little bit about that? Do you have any reflections on that or Did you have any experiences?
It was so cool to see the way that people banded together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing, you know, a lot of times I get asked, you know, why did you decide to go into sports broadcasting in particular?
Of all things, yeah.
The simple answer is because I'm the biggest sports fan ever.
Right.
I love sports. And so, I've built a, thank the Lord, I've been able to build a career, surrounding sports.
What were your sports in high school?
I was a gymnast.
Gymnast, okay.
Yeah, gymnast. But the real reason I love sports broadcasting so much is because on a day-to-day basis, I'm surrounded by the most motivated individuals. I'm surrounded by champions. I'm surrounded by people who refuse to be losers.
Right.
I'm surrounded by people who are rehabbing from injury, from, some of the greatest comebacks.
Right.
And a lot of times, there's so much more than, a football game or a baseball game. A lot of times, as I'm waiting to go into a clubhouse, I'll see players' wives and their kids. And I learn about what they've been through, what it was like back in the days of AAA. And I'm surrounded by such highly motivated individuals who refuse to quit, who refuse to be a loser.
Right.
How, there can be a common goal between an entire organization from, the president of operations down to, someone who serves hot dogs. Everyone is on the same level.
Right.
Everyone has, the same common goal. They're after the same thing. Another thing is outside of a sports organization, it bands people together.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of, you might be from the north side and I'm from the south side and you may be, have these political beliefs and, you may be from this neighborhood or this race, but we're both Bears fans.
There you go.
Right.
And it brings people together. It gives people a common denominator to band together and have something to believe in together.
Yes. And, you brought it up with all the work that they put into it. And that work didn't just start the day they signed with whatever team.
With their parents, driving them to Pee Wee football.
Exactly. Yeah. My brother and his son, they were my boys of summer because Joe played on a traveling team. And who took them all the way around the country? His dad. They drove it, and it was their bond together as he played baseball. We always thought Joe would go pro. He ended up being a coach at Dominican College for baseball. But it's something that begins when they're little, and it is instilled in them to work hard. It is instilled in them to try harder. It's instilled in them to sacrifice. And so when you talk about the favor of God on you, the favor didn't just come to Lauren Majira. The favor came to hardworking, trusting in the Lord, obedient Lauren Majira. So God bless you. Do we have to go to another break now, Mary?
Yeah, I think we're going to break. And then when we come back, listeners, please don't go away. We're going to have more conversation with Lauren Majira of WGN-TV. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Freilich sitting in today for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Koska Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
You are listening to
Mary Fiorito
and
Loretta Freilich
on Winds of Change.
Here is an update on the Fulton Sheen petition.
We Catholics stand just inches from the goal line to have the saint we desperately need now, Venerable Fulton Sheen, publicly declared blessed. Yet new obstacles keep arising to delay this from happening. The Diocese of Peoria is now requiring the unanimous support of the U.S. bishops behind the beatification of Fulton Sheen before a new date is set for the ceremonial Mass. This has never been necessary in the Church's history. The Fulton Sheen Movement's petition drive to set a new date soon for Sheen's beatification Mass now has 10,000 Catholics from around the world clamoring for this. We need this voice magnified by hundreds of thousands more Catholics. And you can help us do that. Take action. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com and sign the petition and share it everywhere, because everyone agrees we need Blessed Fulton Sheen now more than ever.
Bye now, and God love you.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Freilich. We're sitting in today for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change. And we have been joined now for the last segment by Lauren Majera of WGN-TV from their incredible sports desk and their sports coverage there. You likely know Lauren, but Loretta,
I'm
you
sure
wanted
we've
to
all
ask.
Seen, I'm sure we've all seen Lauren, and we're wondering what's next in her exciting career. But as she tells these stories of favor of God, you know it's going to be awesome. So you keep your eyes on this young woman's career. Lauren, there's another story that you have shared about the get. You got the best get ever, and you attributed it to the favor of God.
There's no other way to explain it, because I didn't do anything. It's just so cool what God can do when you ask him to. So I was working for a little station in Wausau, Wisconsin. And in my market at the time, we were the official station of the Green Bay Packers. So that means that during the season, I had a 30-minute live Packers show that I hosted. So it was on me as my host when I'm in the Packers locker room to get a guest to agree to come on the show. That means I'm asking these NFL players on their night off if they would, you know, ride an hour and a half to come on my little show. And it just felt so daunting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys have ever felt this way, when you've been asked to do a task and you just want to look at your supervisor or a family member or a neighbor who's ever asking you to do this and be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, right.
Are you know what you're asking of me? This is impossible.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know how I'm going to do this. I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was feeling really overwhelmed and just the daunting feeling of this task. I didn't know how I was ever going to get players to agree to be on my show. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I'm working on my pitch and, you know, I'm coming up with all this strategy and, you know, putting extra lipstick on, like, anything. And I decided, you know, why am I trying so hard? Why don't I put it in God's hands? Because I'm for sure going to screw it up. For sure. But if I ask God to help work through me, if I ask the Holy Spirit to come and take power over this situation, to take charge and be able to create something that doesn't exist and be able to make something happen that seems daunting and impossible, I know I at least have a shot.
There you go.
Well, God gave me better than just a shot. So, you know, I think that the most important part of this story is that I had turned it over to God, and what he can do is so miraculous. So I walked into that locker room feeling extremely confident, feeling like I had angels behind me and the Holy Spirit, you know, shooting through my arm with this microphone in my hand. and I start working up the courage to go up. And I just started, you know, working over like by the defensive backs, because they're not the big guys, you know. Okay. They're the shifty, quick guys, the little guys. And so I went up to the defensive backs and said, you know, is there any chance either of you would be willing to come on my show? And I'm starting to pitch it. And there's two guys standing there, corner and a safety, and I don't think they realized who I was talking to because I was kind of just going. Both of them agreed and said yes. I couldn't even believe it. I wasn't even done with my pitch. And I said, well, both of you? And they said, well, what are you asking? Do you need both of us? And I said, no, I only need one of you for this week and then one of you for next week. And I said, well, that's fine. Okay. So they both agreed to come on my show. And so I'll start with you, MD Jennings. You know, can you come on, you know, on the show on Monday? And he said, yeah, we have Sunday night football. And, you know, it was Monday night football in Seattle. And then, you know, we fly back after the game. I'm going to spend the day Tuesday with my family, and I'll come on your show Tuesday night.
Right.
Perfect. So that night is Monday, you know, 5 days later is Monday night football. The Packers are in Seattle. I think it's week 3 of the season. It is the year of the referee strike. So there's a lockout with the referees. So they've got replacement referees reffing real NFL games. And this is Monday Night Football. This is the biggest stage in football. And it comes down to Russell Wilson throwing a Hail Mary into the end zone to end the game. A Packers safety jumps up, comes down with a game-ending interception. Game over, Packers win. But a replacement referee called it a Seahawks touchdown, game-ending Seahawks touchdown, Seahawks win.
Wow.
That is history-making.
Yes, it is.
That is an abortion of justice when it comes to NFL refereeing.
Wow. Yes.
It was history-making, and it immediately made national news.
Sure.
That was the play that ended the referee lockout. That was the play that ended it. And as everyone has their hands on their head screaming, no, I'm looking at what safety came down with the supposed game-ending interception when it was ruled a game-winning touchdown, M.D. Jennings.
Hmm.
The player that I had already booked 5 days prior to be on my show the next day.
Favor of God.
While SportsCenter, ESPN Radio, the NFL Network, the Packers are all calling me saying, you know, is there any chance? Because I guess everyone's trying to get a hold of him to get the interview, and the Packers are saying he's already booked on this show.
Right.
What show? This show, Pack Attack in Wausau with Lauren Majera. Who?
I love it.
And he's booked on my show prior, before it even happened, before the national news, before the play, before the game.
He was
booked on my show.
Favor of God. Don't you love it when he looks out for his kids?
I didn't know that was going to happen, but I sure took the credit.
There you go.
Of course, God has the credit, but to my boss.
Amen. Your boss.
I planned it that way,
That's right. You knew what was going to happen. Wow. Lauren, it is just amazing that you so freely give God the credit. Where does that come from?
A lot of hard lessons learned. Trying to do it my way, falling flat on my face, screwing up.
And yet you so readily take these amazing incidences in your life and you say, God did it all for me.
I think it's also, you know, I'm so blessed to have the way that my parents raised me too, because I think, you know, naturally I was really mischievous. And as I grew that grew into rebellion. And I think, it's part of my free spirit. And I just channeled it in all the wrong ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it snowballed. And I had screwed up so many times. And, you know, as a teenager, every time my mom would pick me up from jail, I'm thinking I'm going to be in so much trouble. She's going to lay into me. She's going to take away every privilege I ever had. She's going to. And I'd be ready for it. And I'd get in the car, and she'd say, Lauren, this isn't who you are.
Praise God.
This isn't who you are.
Wow.
Praise God.
Don't identify this as who you are.
Wow.
Don't shame yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Don't partner with this. This isn't who you are. Stand against this. Speak against this. Act against it. And at a young age, it really, really shifted the trajectory of my life, because I was starting to identify with all these poor behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was just like, stop it. Quit it.
What are you doing
but
that for?
As an adult, everyone needs to hear this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quit gambling. It's not who you are. It's not the way God created you.
How did you receive that, though, when your mother said that to you? Did you kind of roll your eyes and say,
it broke me. It moved my heart.
Yes.
Because I was prepared for a battle.
Yes.
I was prepared to get scolded. I was prepared to be shamed. I was prepared to be yelled at. I was ready for a battle. And I not only was shown grace that I didn't earn, that I didn't deserve.
Yes. Yes.
I was shown who is God. How does God look at you?
Amen.
How did God create you?
And anyone who knows Nancy Majera, your mother, knows that that is who she is. She is love personified, and she's that way to everyone she meets. And her own family, the stories that she's shared, the goodness of God in her family, And I can tell you that I have been so blessed by your mother and just the events that she puts on that brings me closer to God through experiencing the gifts of God in other ministries. And, you know, I'm not saying that I'm not Catholic and I'm not going to Catholic church every day. But what I'm saying is there's so much to be learned from our brothers and sisters in the faith that we're crazy not to take advantage of it. And I know in my own spirit, and I've told your mom this before, in my own spirit, you know, I sat in my church and I said, is this all there is? This it? And he led me to the Hub, which is his United Body, and it meets every Sunday at 6 p.m. at the Doubletree in Oak Brook. So for those of you that have been missing the Hub because it did just move, you can join in and, you know, nobody's taking attendance. There'll be no sign-up sheets. You can just worship, you know, in great contemporary worship. The Spirit of God is there. And this is something that your mother and father, Nancy and Hank Majera, have created over the years. And it's been a blessing to Chicago.
Well, God is dying for our attention.
Amen.
Dying for our attention. And people sometimes will say, oh, you know, God left me for... No. He's incapable of leaving you. He created you.
Yes.
Heaven celebrated, or the angels and the heavens celebrated the day that you were born because you were intricately created.
Amen.
And so if you think God forgot about you, you're mistaken.
No.
And it's just so important to remind ourselves of what is God's heart and how consistent he is and how much he is dying for our attention. He wants to heal us.
Amen.
Heal us of mental illness. Heal us of physical ailments. He wants to mend broken marriages and relationships and help create success and create favor in your life.
Amen. Amen.
And all we have to do is meet him. Ask him. And he's not going to hold it over your head. He's not going to shame you.
No,
there's nothing you can do to disqualify yourself.
That's not who he is.
There's nothing you can say, well, I've been this and that, so I don't deserve that. That's not how it works.
No.
That is why Jesus died on the cross. It was for you.
Right.
For you.
And the only identity you need to come away with is that you are a beloved son or daughter of God. And that comes with all the kingdom privileges. I can ask my dad for anything because he loves me. He created me to be happy with him forever. Mm-hmm. And we need to come away with the thought that God's not mad.
Right.
He's not mad at you. He doesn't have plan A or plan B. He has plan 900 gazillion because it's you he loves and you he wants to promote so that you become fully who he created you to be. And that you share this identity in Christ with him, and that you are fulfilling the purpose and plan he created that only you can create.
He gave you the greatest gift that you could possibly receive is he died for your sins.
Absolutely.
He's gifting you eternity in heaven. So don't think that if you have disqualified yourself, it doesn't work that way. You haven't earned it or deserve it. Well, that's how grace works.
Amen.
You've been
Amen.
Shown grace. And if you are starting to doubt that, just simply, if you're driving in your car, you're listening on the radio, you know, when you're going to bed tonight or, you know, anytime today, take some time to speak out loud to God and say, can you show me how you see me?
Yes.
Can you show me how you see me?
Right.
And I guarantee God will respond and you will be blown away.
Amen. Amen.
That's really beautiful.
Isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. I wish we had a whole nother half hour. I wish you'd come on for the whole show. Just quickly, what's it like being a person of faith in the news industry for you? Is it something you talk about at work or, you know, do you just sort of live by your example?
I think it goes noticed, especially, you know, in former jobs, my bosses will pull me inside and say, how are you getting this? How are you doing this? What are you doing that we can teach the rest of the newsroom? Because being a Christian in the broadcasting industry, I feel like I've got some armor and some defense it is an ugly industry. Mm. You will get beat up, sexually abused. You will be mistreated.
Yes.
You will get spit up. Chewed up, thrown out, And I don't have to deal with that shame.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have had a lesson in the favor of God and a little parenting advice thrown in. And if anyone would like to hear more from Lauren when she's at Hub and shares, you want to head out to Oakbrook, to the Oakbrook Doubletree at 1909 Spring Road. It has been our privilege today, ladies and gentlemen, to talk to Lauren about the favor of God, and it is our prayer that each one of you experience the favor of God in a mighty anointed way today. Thank you, Lauren.
God bless you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Everyone, have a great week, and we'll be back with you again next Monday.
Can you see the winds have changed? Marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The